Bradford, and they were talking, there was one woman talking about how one of her experiences that she held like with her the whole time of her doing the work that she was doing was that an Indigenous woman needing to have her own space to be able to go and heal from the ordeal that she went through, and that they couldn't offer that space, and that space wasn't available to them at that time. And I can't remember how many years ago she said it was, but it was quite a few years ago.
40 years or something.
Yeah, and she was like, and we're still having the same conversation. And she's like, and still nothing's changing.
Right.
And she said, I don't know how many times we can just sit here and talk about the same thing without it having some sort of change. And the fact that this is from 2022, and you're saying that it's been a conversation longer than before 2022 about the proposal of a healing lodge. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what fully the update is on it. I mean, I'm sure it's written further down. But not knowing probably if there's even any further development in that process to getting it. And yet it's been a conversation for decades.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that I think this report and the Hot Pink Paper campaign in general is also good for, right, is that the policy asks that they've identified based on community input is very grounded in civil engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And so as voters in the city, and as the people who our government is accountable to us for these things, we have an ability to then put pressure on them a little bit more and, you know, lean into them and say, hey, what about that? What about that lodge? What about that action? How's that policy coming along in order to create this thing that we all need in order to be doing things differently, better for not just a little tiny pool of people who are going to become rich on it, but actually like a bunch of people across the city who will benefit because we're thinking outside of the box of who cities are for and you know what they're housing.
Yeah. I think as well almost people generally don't realize that you're electing these people on your behalf. So you are in every right allowed to put pressure on them to hold them accountable to what they're saying. I think most of the time it just happens, oh, they haven't done what they said, we'll just like kick them out, get someone new in. And then this is kind of like a cycle. I mean, we saw it in 2022 in the UK with our prime ministers. It was like every month it was someone new. And nothing was changing in that. I think people forget that their role is to I don't know if serve you is the correct kind of phrase, but it is like to serve you. Like
they're civil servants.
Yeah, like they're elected by you to, on behalf of the community, do the change that you want. So I feel like it's not, no one really kind of realizes that you are in every right to put pressure, to hold them accountable, to be like, you haven't done this. You said you would have done it. You haven't done it. Why? Like, if you have a clear reason why, then okay. But yeah, I just think it's quite interesting because I think that everyone's solution is just like, oh, they haven't done what they said. Switch it up. Different party in, different leader in or something.
Yeah.
Rather than figuring out, well, why haven't they done what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold them accountable. Explain why. And then maybe there's a bigger conversation to be had. But
yeah, exactly. I think we'll take another song break, and then come back to talk a little bit more about a couple of policy asks that are part of the Hot Pink Paper campaign that we're talking about, released by the Women Transforming Cities organization just in late December. Where are we going next?
I would suggest the song Our Potential by Jaya Bremer. I am not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right. I hope so. But it's off of her album Stay Tender. And I actually had this song listed to play on my open mic last week, which I unfortunately didn't get to do. But yeah, I've had this song like in my playlist for a little while. So yeah.
All right. Here we go. And welcome back to Intravenous. That was Jaya Bremer with Our Potential. And Like I said, you're listening to Intravenous Campus Community Radio from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Holkaminam and Squamish speaking people at 90.1 FM. I'm Robin.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're just joining us this morning, we've been talking about the Hot Pink Paper campaign of the organization Women Transforming Cities and some of the policy asks that the project over the last 2 years has focused on in terms of, you know, identifying from the community what were important and then following through and tracking, you know, collecting data, you know, using all kinds of methodologies to ensure that they were getting meaningful information that would allow them to say, has this stalled? Has this moved forward in an incremental way? Or has this actually, you know, seen progress in a meaningful way?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that the report, I guess, is maybe not inconsistent on, but there's this variability between year one and year two is about housing.
Yeah.
And the progress on the policy ask for reducing barriers for affordable housing. And it doesn't, well, it looks like there's a little bit of effort.
Yeah. When I attended the event, they had these graphs up that we're looking at, which you can very easily see from the first year, so 2023, and then last year, 2024. Feels weird to say last year, but 2024, that there is significantly like less red, which is good. But they did go into more detail kind of in what through like kind of deep within the policy, like what areas were making progress within each policy, what areas weren't, what areas were going backwards. And for the housing, they said that there was one area that was having meaningful progress within it, two areas that were moving backwards and having like not even no progress to going actually just backwards. Ugh. And then one area that had just maintained the same. So I would take that as not really progressing in any sense. And so it was saying that what was making meaningful progress was there was an amendment made to accelerate previous non-market housing motions. And the area that had kind of maintained the same and just hadn't made progress at all, not that it's gone backwards or anything, was a motion to add co-op units on city-owned co-op sites. That sort of had just stayed the same, as not really much has happened in terms of that. And then the two areas that had gone backwards were, they said, relaxed social housing requirements for Little Mountain and rejected the unlocking Shaughnessy motion. Those two were in red. And out of all of the policies that they kind of like really delved into, because there were four main ones that they really went into, that one had the most red, was the non-market housing progress out of them all. And in the like color kind of chart, if you will, thing, I think non-market housing is the only red sector of the two-year summary chart. As well, none of the other sectors have any red at the moment. As like a, I think the chart is kind of like you're averaging because they split it based on each kind of, I don't know what you would call them, mayors, or each kind of main person in the parties of local governments that have made these commitments. They split them up into their parties of all the communities that they serve. And then it's sort of looking who's, so it's looking at them kind of individually and as a party, as who's following through with their promises and who's not, type of thing. And yeah, the red is only on the market housing for one party, and that is the only red on the graph for the 2-year summary chart, which I think is quite interesting considering we were just briefly talking about this whilst the song was playing, about them shutting down camps, and things. And I know whether it was November or December, but there was I think it was the only legal tent city, I think, left in Vancouver or something, and they shut it down, Crab Park, which I know was covered on Speak Up at some point around that time.
Yeah, and I know Magnus has another interview about the more recent developments about that coming up on Speak Up, maybe even next week. There's some new developments,
yeah,
or you know, just to sort of keep folks up to date on what's happening there. The need for affordable and accessible housing is so crazily understated, I think. I wonder to myself, not out of necessity, which is good, but you know, I live with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a tiny one bedroom apartment, and we pay a fortune for it. And if we decided to split up, we would both need to pay what we pay together.
Yeah.
Which is almost unimaginable.
Yeah.
You know, like we make ends meet, but we don't live on the, we don't live on any luxury.
Yeah.
You know, we drive a ratty car, and I take the bus everywhere, and you know, you know, for folks who make less than we do, or for people who have kids and need bedrooms for children, and you know, that escalates the rent, and for people who are in unsafe situations that are required to stay in those situations because there aren't options to actually get out and be able to afford to be able to afford your own safety.
Yeah.
You know, like these are real issues, you know? And I mean, you and I were just talking before the show even started about all of the people that that have been sick over the new year, and you know, reports in the UK of, you know, people you know, lining up in emergency and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, even just unexpected illness that interrupts your paycheck, right?
Yeah.
Like all of these things point to the need for us to be able to afford our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if the city doesn't prioritize housing for everybody, and not just the people who can afford penthouse suites on the waterfront looking over a beautiful view, then we're really at a loss. And you know, we're going to see a lot more people sleeping in doorways that you know, then are stigmatized for reasons that are likely very untrue, because people need housing for all kinds of different reasons. and we all need to be able to afford where we live.
Yeah. And I think this one particularly as well being a significant one to be holding government figures accountable, both locally, like how women are doing, like Women Transforming Cities is doing, but also because it was such a focal point in the provincial election as one of the big issues, and looking at how slim the NDP took the election to make sure you're holding, but now provincially, them accountable for what they say they're going to do. Because David Eby even said himself, I can't remember if it was before he had officially won or when he officially won, but him saying how this election was a huge wake-up call because he didn't expect the NDP to only win by that small of a percentage. So even him saying that, to holding him accountable to that, in that, so now you need to see some change. Now that you have only just been voted back in, the change needs to be seen, mm-hmm. specifically with what's probably one of the biggest issues in BC.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And the policy ask for Women Transforming Cities isn't a ridiculous one.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's... they're asking the city to commit to reducing barriers to providing non-market housing by delegating authority to the city to, as you mentioned, approve nonprofit, co-op, and social housing initiatives of up to 12 stories in multifamily areas and up to 6 stories in other residential areas without a rezoning requirement.
Mm.
And, you know, I know that there's all kinds of issues about building 50-story towers and, you know, them sticking out like a sore thumb, and nobody really wants to live in those anyways,
yeah.
right? They're very impersonal, and but 6 stories in a residential building where a lot of these houses are already 3 stories, it's not that much of a leap in terms of what you're giving up, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of the landscape, and being able to accommodate a lot more people. And, you know, the thing that we also need to get back to, and I know this was a priority for the city a while ago. I don't know where they stand at it now in Vancouver, but they had closed a bunch of the community corner grocery stores, and they you know, zoned it so that you couldn't have those anymore.
Mm.
And so now everybody has to drive to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what about people who have difficulties getting there? You know, whether that's old people or, you know, people with a disability, or, you know, just I need to run across the street and buy milk because I need to get eggs and milk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, denser housing also creates more walkability, ideally, in your neighborhood, and a lot more life on the street, a lot more safety in general, typically. You know, when there's people on the street, I feel a lot safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's when I'm alone on the street that it's creepy, right?
Yeah.
I want to see other people in my neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the you know, making things denser is ultimately a good thing, as long as it's creating too that ability to have a little bit more of, you know, community life, street life.
No, oh, yeah,
and that
definitely.
Kind of stuff. Just a couple of minutes left in the program. It always just like zooms past. I Want to remind you that at 11 o'clock, Democracy Now! Is on the air. And to stay tuned for that. But what do we need to wrap ourselves up with here, Rebecca?
Well, I thought, I mean, we could probably only scratch the surface with this question. But kind of thinking how we can kind of proceed federally now that we're going into an environment for equity now that the Prime Minister has just resigned the other morning. I can't quite remember what day it was, but the other morning, having resigned as leader of the Liberal Party and as Prime Minister, as soon as a new Liberal Party leader has been elected, I think is when he's actually stepping down.
I think so.
Yeah. But like, how do we proceed federally now in terms of creating environments for equity as a whole of Canada? Because we have, I mean, Women Transforming Centre is a Vancouver-based organization, so it's obviously focusing on the issues that predominantly are experienced in Vancouver, in BC. So it's interesting what kind of it's going to look like federally, because we're also approaching an election.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, nothing's been called, but
yeah.
But I think, you know, when some of this federal fallout...
Yeah, because it's supposed to be in October of this year, if everything was going normally.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the organization and the structure and the accountability that Women Transforming Cities... has created on a municipal level and functions to enable the citizenry, this sort of input into the political process, is something that not only is empowering, I think, because oftentimes we feel disempowered by the political process.
Mm.
You know, we vote the people in and then we just watch things fall apart around us oftentimes. And we don't feel like there's much inroad to, you know, comment or put pressure or or track the progress. And so I think that they've created over the time of their institutionalization, quite a rubric for other, not only cities but countries to follow as well. I don't know what that would look like federally, but it would be very interesting to see women transforming countries.
Yes. Yeah,
and you know, really. Really be active in the ways that we're reimagining how societies can create space for equity deserving folks and different populations, where equity is seen in more detail, I guess.
Yeah. I think just like as well, the political system is almost feels like it's designed to not be the most welcoming and open to women and women's voices, that to have the ability of this organization to use their voices as women to be holding those in power, which are more likely to be men, accountable, is something very admirable and crucial, I would say, in changing our environments to be more equitable. In that it's, you have an organization of all women solely banding together and not just saying what they want, but saying what the community wants.
Yeah.
And to be holding those in power is something that I think is very, it's very spectacular to see.
Yes. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back next Wednesday for Rebecca's last show.
My last one.
stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming right up.